A former parishioner of mine was leaving his house one Sunday morning, and he bumped into his next-door neighbors, a family with young children, on his way out the door. He was on his way to church. This family was on their way to one of their many weekend activities. The 8-year-old daughter saw him, all dressed up in a suit, and she said, "Well, you look really nice today. Where are you going?" And he told her, "I'm going to church." To which this young girl responded, "Oh, who died?" To which her somewhat embarrassed parents tried to explain that church wasn't just the place where funerals happen. People go to church to pray in good times, too. But the point was lost on this girl who had only ever set foot in a church when she was following a coffin. My former parishioner shared this story with me because he was concerned and upset that this kid, sort of representative of her generation, didn't know what church was really about. She'd never really gone. But as I thought about it, I wasn't so uncomfortable with people associating the church with death. One of the great gifts of the church is its sacred rituals that help us mark beginnings and endings. I hope that kid grows up to know that when a loved one dies, the church is a place that she can turn. When someone dies, the first and the lasting thing we do is tell stories about them. Who they were, what they accomplished, who they loved, what they were passionate about, lessons they taught us, memories that keep them alive in our hearts. And that is a bit of what we do here tonight. And we tell the story of our salvation, keeping the story of God, keeping God alive in our hearts. And we start from the beginning in a dark church, reminding us of when the world was in darkness, when the light of Christ did not yet light our way. We light the new fire of Easter to remind us that it is Christ we are here to remember. We read from Scripture. We tell the many different stories of God's saving work. We remember how it's always been God's nature to save us and redeem us and restore us to new life. And we epitomize that in the sacramental ritual of baptism, giving new life in God to the newest member of God's family. Congratulations, Kephas. And then we sum it all up in a grand remembering of the story of God's saving power in Jesus. Maybe that kid wasn't so wrong about church after all. What we have done here so far isn't super different from a funeral. I think that question, who died, in some ways is at the heart of what we think about when we think about what it means to be Christian. The Christian faith is founded on the belief that God became human and died to redeem our sinfulness. The symbol of our faith is the very instrument of execution by which his death came about. One of the simplest ways we explain who Jesus is to children is to say he died for us. So maybe it logically follows, I'm going to church. Who died? Jesus did. As much as we would like to proclaim Christ's resurrection, sometimes it can feel like a singular historic event instead of a daily spiritual reality. Is Jesus really alive? What do we have to show for it? There is poverty all around us. Our democracy is in peril. Children continue to be gunned down at school while their lawmakers ignore their pleas for a safer world. Black lives continue to not matter in a country where there are more black people in prison and on parole than there were in the 1860s. Immigrants seeking a better life on our shores are painted as criminals and deported to certain death. We ignore the unforgivable irony of a homeless person sleeping on the steps of gilded golden towers on Fifth Avenue. Despite overwhelming evidence, lawmakers continue to allow industry and infrastructure that permanently damage our planet. Trans people are being attacked and their health care denied. And the name of Jesus, the religion of Christianity, is more recognizable as an extremist far-right political machine than a group of people following Jesus' commandment to love and serve others. I just brought the house down, didn't I? Y'all are like, this is great. Oh. Is Jesus really risen? I mean, sometimes it feels like Jesus is still dead. The story of Easter Sunday opens with women going to a tomb. And they are doing what they're supposed to do in the ancient world, caring for the dead. They go prepared for burial rituals. All four Gospels share this part of Jesus' story. They go to Jesus expecting a funeral. But what they get instead is an empty tomb. And what they are given instead is resurrection. A message that comes to and starts with people on the margins. The vulnerable and the disposable are the ones who announce the profound and beautiful truth that is at the heart of our faith, that God's love is stronger than death. It is the culmination of Jesus's countercultural story. The thing is, when we say Jesus is risen, we're not just talking about something that happened once 2,000 years ago. Our belief in resurrection is our proclamation and our trust in the power of a loving and liberating and life-giving God. Resurrection matters because the risen God upends our expectations of who is in and who is out, our assumptions about who matters, about who gets to lead, about whose wisdom we should listen to. Resurrection matters. Because we must believe that the evil forces of this world can be put to death, just like we renounced, like Kephas renounced a few minutes ago. We must believe those evil forces can be put to death if we have any hope at all of combating them. Jesus is not a historical figure. He is new life each and every day. And the truth is, when you follow the countercultural footsteps of Jesus, something within you must die. Two, your ego, your pride, your selfishness. That's why we come to church. The rituals and the sacraments that we encounter in this place, hearing the word of God, remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, proclaiming his resurrection, they help us continually put to death the things that get in the way of God's redeeming love, so that resurrection can be not just a hoped-for future, but an everyday and present reality. Because on Easter, on this holy night, God changes the question for us. The central question of our faith is not who died. The question of our faith is who lives. The power and the purpose of our life of faith is not to ponder who has died, but to proclaim that which has new life. The symbol of our faith is not a crucifix. It is an empty cross. Our countercultural faith seeks that which brings life, not death, to this world. So on this Easter, my friends, open your eyes to the world around you and seek those people and places and things which need new life. Join with the prophets in proclaiming, "I know my Redeemer lives." As countercultural as it might seem today, death is not the end of the story. It is all of us, the baptized, the body of Christ, who now continue to tell and live out that story of resurrection and new life, including Kephas. God has brought resurrection to the world. And when we proclaim Jesus risen, not just a historical dude, our living Savior risen, we boldly live that truth that nothing, nothing is more powerful than the radical force of God's redeeming love. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.